to over, and the next session with Lois Dixon on the Music Room this time. This is Thursday the 19th of June, 69. Thursday the 19th of June, 69. This is Channel 2 over, and this is the second session with Lois Dixon in a row. This is on the Music Room this morning. I got Florence and told her I would put aside everything just to go ahead, that tape was so good, and do the Music Room. Fort Lois got off next week, and over the weekend she'd be so busy she couldn't get her mind on this. And we made it. She was gone, and the little colored boys were all on the telephone, and we had other interruptions, but we made it at about 11 o'clock, and we stayed till 12.
We had Delco lights before Saul Power Company came in, and they put the switch for this room out here. Now, why don't I know?
Yes.
My pupils always getting so intrigued when I have to turn on this light, I have to leave the room.
Yes.
I have to leave the room to turn on the light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This. Yes. Now, why they didn't put the switch in that room, I don't know.
Yes. No great trouble.
Uh-huh. Hmm? And in your music room?
Uh-huh. This was the parlor.
Now, you want to look
back in the day, this was the parlor.
Yeah. Well, did you have the piano in here?
Yes.
When it was your father?
Mm-hmm.
And so the family would gather around while you practiced, or did you sort of?
And you know, it's wonderful to have a parlor or a music room where they're music students. My pupils have to practice in the new style architecture now, where the family room. There's the television. It used to be the radio.
Yeah.
And when Papa comes home at night, he doesn't want to hear 1, 2, 3, 4, do re mi. He wants to hear the news. And so it's always that conflict.
Yeah.
Now, I could always practice, and my mother could entertain. My uncles were here when they were in poor health. They could sit somewhere else. But my music teaching and my practicing didn't bother them.
Uh-huh.
But people don't build houses like that now.
They're just not made for the music.
Not made for music study.
Study. No.
No.
But I was right. Florence put her piano up and she got it in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So Carla could go in practice and would not disturb the rest of the family.
Get way off by herself.
Uh-huh. And I know a few candidates. The dead ones did the same thing, the rag that they put theirs upstairs. So to be out of the way, the children could practice, and they could entertain their friends downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an old hotel. That's a Matuszek and Son. And then sometimes you see a piano with just Matuszek.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which is the oldest company? Which is the oldest company? Well, this Matuszek, and then later, by the increasing company to Matuszek and Son, of whether...
The old man died.
Yes, I don't know. I can't figure it out, Melissa. I can't figure out the math of checks.
That's his cabinet grand, Melissa. Are the strings the same on that as in a regular grand?
Yeah, full length strings.
Full length strings.
Mm-hmm.
That's Matuszek.
Matuszek.
Did your daddy order that for you?
They bought this before I came into the family. This piano is a little older than I.
Mm-hmm. They were expecting you.
Uh-huh.
Did he order it from New York, or were they available locally in those days?
Mm-hmm.
It's carved, I see, along the edge, which you don't see on the front here. Now.
And it's veneered, look here.
Uh-huh.
And they began to break here, and some people said, I'm talking to them, sometimes they've been pulling that off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pulling that off. And I've had to replace the ivories. These are plastic keys.
Mm-hmm.
The ivories were in two parts, and they began to come off here. And every time the man would tune the piano, he would declare to goodness that he had the new kind of paste, that it wouldn't come off. And he puts them back, and in no time at all, by then I begin to accumulate part of keys over there, until the keyboard looked mighty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting different colors of yellow, and badly stained. So I had them all taken off and this plastic keyboard put on. I didn't like it very much. I thought, looked off the sheet, those white, those real white, they were very white when we put them on. But anyway, it looked better than that. And I say sometimes I get a little embarrassed about the appearance of the old case. I thought, I just ought to have a new piano. Mm-hmm. I just will get a pretty new piano. And then I go somewhere where they have bought a new piano and they want me to try it. And yeah. Before I sit down, they begin to apologize that this key is sticking out, this doesn't sound just right here. And then I saw them get... I'm going to keep my own piano.
Yours don't stick?
No.
And you don't have a light in it either, do you?
Summer or winter?
I think you had the strings replaced or the original ones in?
Oh, well, I think maybe it's been some replaced. I don't know. But, no, I think one reason why it doesn't stick is you so much.
Oh, yes.
And didn't you say it was pretty much on in tune when you had it last time?
Yes, it holds the tune awfully well. Mm-hmm. People believe in inside walls for pianos. If there's any version of that, this has an inside wall, so it doesn't have any moisture. See, and I have very little moisture.
Yeah.
But the piano has to be here in this room. It's an eight-sided room. There are four windows and a door and a fireplace.
Yes.
So this is the only place for the piano.
And just made for it.
Just made for it. Mm-hmm.
Was it really made for it?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't suppose it was.
Yeah. But it worked out that way.
And we have a time arranging the furniture in the room upstairs. It's a bedroom. It's for us.
This is the one with the white slave bed.
Mm-hmm.
It has eight sides too. Four windows and a fireplace, and then the main door in the hall, and the door that goes into the closet, clothes closet, so that just leaves one wall space for the bed.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I don't enjoy moving furniture around because I can't move it. You know, there's some people who love to move furniture around. In the room, change from one corner around one position to another. Yeah. But we never have been able to do that much. These rooms are so constructed that you can't.
What's that?
Did you notice the design, the wood on the fireplace?
No.
And it has tile in it, which you don't see too often, a decorative tile. Is this characteristic of fireplaces long ago, Lois, with all this carving on them?
Oh, and there's some old houses that are more ornate than that. That's kind of conservative compared to some.
It's even a place for your library.
Uh-huh.
There's two shelves on either side. Did you have a fire in here often?
We used to, yes. Mm-hmm. We had the brass andirons. People had to have brass andirons at a certain time, so we had the brass andirons.
Well, you have all your friends still with you over here on top of the piano and on the wall. Who are they now?
Now, this is Mr. Chiapuso. He was my teacher in Shorter College in Rome, Georgia. And he hadn't been in this country very long.
C, how do you pronounce this? Spell that.
C-H-I-A-P-U-S-S-O.
Chiapuso.
Mm-hmm. Chiapuso. John Chiapuso.
Handsome fella, isn't he?
He was, let's see, he was born on the Isle of Malta.
Oh. Well, that make him Italian? Yes.
But he spent most of his life in Germany, was educated in Germany, and he's a specialist in Schubert's music. And he told us that his teacher had him practice Schubert's March Militaire 13 years before he gave him permission to play it on a program. And he said, I played it around whenever I wanted to, but not I didn't go on one of my concert programs with his permission until he had known it for 13 years. Then when he came to this country, why people knew of his reputation as a Schubert specialist. And so music clubs and music associations all over this country, when they were having a Schubert festival or featuring Schubert anyway, they sent for Mr. Kikusa.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was an instructor at Shorter College mm-hmm. when you were there.
He 1 year in the South, and that was all.
Oh.
He joined an agency, a teaching agency, when he came to New York, and because he wanted a job, he had to teach, and this agency sent him to Shorter College in Rome, Georgia.
And that's the only year he was in.
Mm-hmm. From there, he went to Detroit.
Yeah.
You were fortunate.
And I used to read about him lots in the Etude magazine and Musical Life. Musical America was quite a popular music magazine at that time. I used to read about him in that and in the Etude.
He was pretty strict, wasn't he?
Mr. Kikusa just scared the life out of me one time about I wouldn't count out loud.
Yeah. Well, why is it that people don't like to count out loud?
I don't know. They don't. It seems to be something that a great many people have that same experience. They don't like to count out loud. And my pupils do me just like I used to my pupils.
Yeah.
They tell me to count, and I start out counting 2 or 3 minutes, and I quit.
Yeah.
And that's the way that's my pupils do me, too. Well, I did Mr. Kikusa that way. But he had this big German voice when he would count, you know, and he'd tell me to count, and I'd try to count because I was so scared of it. And my voice sounded so puny and so weak and frail, I just quit, and I thought he'd never know it was. And one time, I stopped counting, and he closed the book. He said, well, the lesson's over. If you can't count out aloud by the next lesson time, you just go to the office and tell me you have discontinued your music lessons.
Why, Lois, you don't mean that.
I was just about to be expelled from the music department because I wouldn't count out loud. I tell my pupils, I went back to my practice room, I started counting, I've been counting ever since. And if I can frighten you some way into it, I wish you would start counting too.
Yeah. Well, now, that may help them over that.
May help them over that hump. Yeah.
Hump.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
You had a lot to do with the lady over here, too, didn't you? Wasn't she one of your music teachers?
Oh, this is Mrs. Crosby Adams.
Let's see her.
Huh? From Montreat, North Carolina.
Yes.
She was born in Niagara Falls. And she spent most of her music life in Chicago.
What's her name?
Crosby Adams. Mrs. Crosby Adams.
Adams, yes. George Crosby Adams.
And she was a piano teacher, and a writer, and a composer, and a lecturer. And Mr. Adams was an orchestra conductor and a choir director. They never had any children. And after they began to feel the cold of Chicago weather, they thought they'd like to come south. So they traveled all around about, and they decided on Montreat, North Carolina. And Montreat was delighted to have them buy a lot and build a place there. And all the music associations in North Carolina, generally, were delighted to have this orchestra conductor and this choir director, and she as a teacher and as a writer, as an author. So they really recognized them. They were recognized and appreciated.
Yeah.
And long to the latter part of their life, they were interviewed by the Etude magazine, and the subject of the title of that interview was 90 Years of Music.
Is that right?
They were about the same age, and they were about 91 or 2 years old when they were interviewed, and they entitled this article, 90
yeah.
Years of Music.
That's marvelous, isn't it?
And they wrote and they told of their some of their experiences. And Mr. Adams died first, and she played the funeral music.
Oh.
They had that understood, which if she had gone first, he was gone first.
Yeah.
They knew just what they wanted, the funeral music they liked. Now, I read this in the Asheville newspaper. I think also in the Etude magazine, I think they came out later, an article about that. She wasn't seen. There was a screen. She wasn't seen. But she played the funeral music.
At 90? About 92?
Yeah, 92, 93 or 4 by that time.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, that was Miss Crosby Adams.
Now, you knew her at
uh-huh. She influenced my life as a teacher more than anyone else.
Well, did you go to school then?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She gave a course in the summertime at her place in Montreat for music teachers.
Oh, yes.
Kind of a normal course. She taught teaching material. And I have her scrapbooks right down here
mm-hmm.
that she gave us at that time.
Oh.
The teachers were there from all over the Southland. I found out, I heard about them in the etude. They had this inserted this little ad about music teacher course on teaching material for piano teachers. And I was young, I just taught 1 year. And so I thought, well, now that's what, something like that's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
So I answered the ad and liked the reply that I got, and so I went.
Yes.
Do you feel it was
and
her
I
personality
to,
that
yes,
influenced
uh-huh.
you,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
her method, or what about her? Tell a little bit about her.
Well, of course, she was presenting a lot of her own material, and I bought lots of and I used some of it, but I did not continue it all the way through my, up until now, because there are other materials out
uh-huh.
since then. But I don't know, she just had some interesting stories about music, and she kept scrapbooks, and when her pupils would come and wait for their lessons, I got that from her. She always had these scrapbooks, Christmas cards she had from big name people. She was a great friend of McDowell's, and Leopold Godofsky, and well, just and Schumann Heinck, all the great musicians at that time. Why they knew them so well, and they always had Christmas cards from them, and so she kept all those. So when I came, I began having children way out there. I put my music appreciation readers and my etudes and things like that out there for them. But nowadays, you know, I buy mad. They began bringing their own comics. And I thought, well, I believe I'll provide something that may be a little better than that. So I buy those kind of things. I still put my things out there, but I can see what they read. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have over there Children's Digest.
Yeah.
I bought that. I subscribe to that. I thought they'd like that. And
they,
then
do they like that?
Yes, I think they do. And then Florence gave me a lot of copies of Highlight. And I keep those out there. That's a very fine children's magazine. Here's what I thought.
Oh yes, Highlights. Now that's one that goes on now. That's the current magazine.
Well, it isn't. They don't send people around trying to get you to subscribe to this. You have to know someone that does and get the form. It covers many ages. It has a section in the back on a great musician always.
Oh.
And a piece of music.
Uh-huh.
Everyone.
And it's written for the children to read.
It's very easy for them to understand. My children, especially Carla, has always enjoyed reading this abbreviated account of the biography of the different musicians.
Well, I said they're all in book for children
mm-hmm.
and has some music in it, too.
Her scrapbook, what did you put in her scrapbook, Lois? This is weird. We're trying to cover a year's material here in
July 1918.
Yes, July 1918.
Lois Dixon, Montreat, North Carolina, July 1918. That's book two.
Let's see what you got in there.
And that's book one. Well, let's see how she.
Oh, there she
now
is.
Now, this is the place where I stayed, where I had a room there.
Oh, that's a beautiful place. Huge, isn't it? On the mm-hmm. side of the hill?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the House of Seven Gables with all the gable bout, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look, and porches all around.
That was near her place. She calls her place the House in the Woods. In Montreat, when you buy a lot, you're allowed to cut down just enough trees to build your house. For any tree unnecessarily cut, you'll find $10.
Mm-hmm.
So she called her place the House in the Woods. Everybody could call their place the House in the Woods. That's what they all were.
Mm-hmm.
That is a picture of her and a list of her musical writings.
Oh, yeah.
Preliminary studies for the piano and instruction book and studies, piano duets.
Second grade, third grade. Oh, she just had that. She wrote for her students, didn't
yes,
she?
Yes, uh-huh.
Weren't the two music appreciation books you loaned me written by her?
No, they're written by Hazel Gertrude Kinsella from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And her little quotation she gave us, always play as if a master heard you, from Schumann. A good rule is to do the hardest thing first.
Yes.
So, upon taking up a study or piece, look over the different spots and concentrate as much as possible upon them. The difficult
that?
Spots.
Now, you wrote that down, but that's what she said.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Something worth saying in a way worth remembering.
Yes.
Be true, thou must be true thyself, if thou the truth would teach.
Yes.
So she talked and she demonstrated all these this teaching material, things in the first grade.
And this is some of the things that she worked on.
Now that's one of my programs.
1930
in Micanopy. Music, once admitted to the soul, becomes a sort of spirit and never dies.
Oh.
Quotations to be remembered.
In this old program here, we have the Thrashers, Ann Thrasher.
Mm-hmm.
The Thrashers.
Lorraine Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Lorraine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cade Thrasher, you know, Mr. Thrasher's other daughter in here.
Yeah.
And Dr. Daly's father.
Now, here's a clipping of a picture of Gallicucci, March 6, 1920.
That's from probably from that musical America that I used to enjoy so much.
Uh-huh.
Now, she says down here, the maxim, know thyself, will not suffice. Know others. Know them well. That's my advice.
Yes.
Sounds like a course in philosophy.
I just love Mrs. Adams, and I said she influenced you quite a lot. Uh-huh.
Now, what are some of those things you've got
Let's
up there?
See,
The mind must
direct the fingers. Musical training is a more potent instrument than any other, because rhythm and harmony find their way into the inward places of the soul, on which they mightily rest. That's Plato. And again, Plato said, music is the essence of law and order and leads to all that is good.
Yes, he may not have talked about this sort of music, but it's still nice. But this thing here, now how does that go?
The mind must direct the fingers.
Yes. You couldn't make it more concise than that, can you?
Mm-hmm. What is this over here by Euripides? Song?
Song brings of itself a cheerfulness that makes the soul to joy. When you play hard. This is Theodore Roosevelt. When you play hard. And when you work, don't play at all.
Yeah. That's remarkable. Now, these are the little scrapbooks?
Uh-huh.
And you let them leave them out?
No, I didn't
Not
leave these
out,
but I made some myself.
These are for yourself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Alas for those who never sing and die with all the singing in them.
Yeah.
Went on home. Oh, yes, and she gave me this idea. She had done it. She had a dial program. So did I. And I bought him a dial program. All the music was about dolls.
Oh.
Now, it takes a good while to research and find a piece about dolls in a grade that's suitable for this pupil and every other pupil on the program. That a unified program like that takes a long time to break up.
Oh, yeah.
But I did it, and I invited everyone to come and bring the oldest doll.
Yeah.
And we were going to give a prize for the one who brought the oldest doll. And guess who brought the oldest doll? Anna Elizabeth Wood.
Anna Wood.
Was one of the dolls she played with.
Mm-hmm.
And had kept it, and they just got it out and dressed it up and brought it to your recital. Who brought it?
And Elizabeth, she's Mrs.
Wood's daughter.
What is her name? Oh, she was Schofield?
Oh, Anna. Was Ann Schofield. She is Ann Schofield now.
Yes. Oh, I see.
And her name
I would just love to show her to somebody who would be interested.
Oh, nice.
Here it is. Our first doll occasion.
I intended
1927.
To have more. I intended to have more, but I never have. But I have this woodcut. I have that cut.
Mm-hmm.
The Ocala Star did this program for me, and I have that, and it's in that dressing table upstairs in that room that they gave me when I asked for a dressing table.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in that one of those drawers up there, that woodcut. I can have this program made again, just like this.
What does it look like inside? Programmed doll, all those authors.
Well, you know, Maid Edmund, Ms. Rath now here in McIntosh.
Is who?
Mrs. Rath.
Ms. Ross Rath.
Ms. Ross Rath.
And Mary Chapman lived in Macon, but she was interesting. They were interesting people. They moved here from Macon. And Mrs. Chapman had gone to school in Randolph, Macon. She had been beautifully educated. But she dropped her music. She wouldn't practice. And she had had piano lessons. She had had voice lessons. And didn't amount to anything. And then she regretted it. And she married, she had this little girl, Mary Chapman. And she says, we're not going to have a repeat of that. She's going to study music, she's going to learn to play. So then she brought her down here for music lessons. And I know one time we were talking about a lesson period. And I said, well, if you can bring a certain time, I want to give her some extra help before a recital. I said, if you can bring her down a certain time, I will be glad to help her. And I never forget what Miss Chapman said. She said, that's the afternoon I play bridge. But said, that doesn't make any difference. She said, what I can do for Mary is the most important thing for me to do.
Yes, that's right.
She said, missionary society or bridge club or whatnot is not going to stand between what I can do for Mary about her music. So
great.
She brought Mary, and she brought Mary, and I thought Mary, I thought it was a hopeless case.
Yeah.
I really did. And she tried, but she just wasn't musical. But we didn't give up. And the most remarkable thing, just all at once, it was just like you had opened the door, and she walked into the light. And because I had that experience early in my teaching career, I never have forgotten it. I never get hopelessly discouraged by anybody.
Yeah.
You've had this repeated in other students,
yes, I have.
Too,
mm-hmm.
Haven't you? That
yeah.
Maybe 4 and 5
well,
years.
Well, that was very, very outstanding. I didn't think she ever played, but she
did. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
But she did play. And they moved out anywhere they lived in Micanopy. It was a new house then. It was a nice place. Big house, but then cross house to John Bar Watkins.
Oh.
And then before
Whiting,
you get this,
where the Whitings?
Yeah, the Whitings, that's right, where the Whitings live. But the Chapmans live there, one of the first to live in that place.
That's
there.
Where the old Double Oak is, that they say,
mm-hmm.
where the Indians signed the peace treaty?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Went on back, the Chapmans went on back to Georgia and time. And years, years later, this Mary Chapman was married, and she came to my front door one day. And of course, I didn't recognize her at first. And she told me who she was then, and then I could see Mary Chapman now.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the nicest visit, and I just appreciated it so much,
mm-hmm.
her stopping by to see me. And she said that she went on to, I think she went to Randolph, Macon, and she studied music and voice up there, too. Don't think she majored in it. Don't think she you could study music then and not major in it.
Yeah.
Don't you know? But now then, if you study music, you had to be a music major.
Yeah.
Every schedule and every course is so full until one doesn't have time to study music.
It's unfortunate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But that began to be the case long, but the latter years in college, that you couldn't take a regular literary course and study music too. You had to be a music major. It was getting me that way short,
yeah.
The last. But yeah, this
so
is
that's the tail that wags the dog.
Uh-huh.
Louise Brown.
And this Lucille Ayer. Mm-hmm. See this Lucille Ayer?
Uh-huh.
Well, she is the mother of Elizabeth Ashley.
Now, who's Elizabeth Ashley?
She's a movie star. She played in Barefoot in the Park.
Oh.
She had the leading role in Barefoot in the Park.
Oh.
You said that's a pretty wide jump for that one.
Mm-hmm. Didn't follow.
Lucille Ayer married King Cole. King Cole. And they were separated. And Lucille went out to New Orleans, where her mother's people had come from. She went out there. And this was, her daughter was Elizabeth Cole. Well, she studied dancing, she studied music, all the things. And she wanted a dramatic or a theatrical career, so she went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she got pretty good breaks. And they said to her, this is Cole. There's another Elizabeth Cole in the business. what other name could we use? We can't have another Elizabeth Cole. And so, back in her family somewhere, on her mother's side of the family, had been some Ashleys. So she mentioned that now, Elizabeth Ashley. Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
Now that's it.
Yeah.
And Lucy took music lessons right here. She's the cutest little thing you ever saw, but she wouldn't talk. She just wouldn't talk. I would ask something. Well, did your people have a nice weekend? We did. Did you go to Ocala or to see your grandmother? We did. Now, I try to go to, that's all she said.
Yeah. Well, I picked
it. Oh, we didn't? Just two words. And I finally said to the mother, I said this, and they had another one. She was Elizabeth. Elizabeth, they had the two sisters, and they both talked that way.
Mm-hmm.
They lived out here on the Ayer farm. Their grandfather, General Ayer, was a very prominent Marion County citizen. And I said to the mother, I said, do your children talk normally home? I said, when we ask them anything, well, that's when my uncles were here and we talked to them, and they just answered, we are. We did not. And she said, yes, they talk like children at home. Well, I said, I don't know your milk or not, but I said, that's all the answer we can get from them.
How long did that stage last?
Well, I don't know. I guess it didn't last. Well, this is 1927.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the children seen and not heard at the time.
And his Anna raised trash. And Margaret Zahl, her father was a doctor here. Dr. Zahl lived right across. Louise Brown, that's Mrs. McMullen, is Whitey McMullen in Gainesville now. Whitey, sports writer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And Margaret Brown, Mrs. Brown had just come back from Oregon. She lives out there now. And here's that Elizabeth Ayer. See that sister? She's
uh-huh.
She's older. She was older of the two sisters.
Mm-hmm. Anna Wood was taken
then.
This
is Mark Phil. And Ms. Adams kept account of all her side, and that's where I got that.
Yeah.
But after a time, that's
the
20th.
I heard you say 20th on there.
20th recital.
20th recital in
1927. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to have more than one recital a year. I used to have more than one recital a year.
Yes.
You can't go by that.
Yeah. Stop your arithmetic, huh?
I can see those mathematical wheels.
Time goes on.
Now, this is Mrs. Adams' number. Questionings. It was about a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And Louise Brown read it. While Margaret accompanies her.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's a cute number, too.
Would you have most of this filed away?
These pieces?
No.
toy doll. I doubt that's Miss Crosby. I would put her name. Now, here's Miss Crosby. I wrote the doll's music box. I had two of her numbers on there.
Dolly's Dream and Awakening, you see quite often now. Some of them.
Lois, you've got so many beautiful things in here, we can't do it. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, we'll do it again. We'll do it again sometime.
All right, fine. Got to go.
including the TV snack table that I got with training staff.
The modern
stuff. It's sitting right next door to this old love seat over here that was bought in 1884. At the same time they were buying that Bible we saw upstairs yesterday in the office.
Yes.
And this is
same cover, just about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same cover, and the same color that came with it.
Looks like velvet.
Mm-hmm. And when I brought it home from Georgia, as my aunt died, first thing I knew, I couldn't wait to get it done over, done over. But the man wouldn't do it over.
What'd he say?
He said, "Why, that's not so bad. That kind of identifies his age anyway." And I said, I couldn't put anything to replace that would do like so well. So he said, if I were you, I'd just put up with that.
And it hasn't worn much anyway, has it?
Mm-hmm. He had more taste than you did.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad?
Uh-huh.
What is this picture of? Is that cork?
No, it's wood. Well, now that has a little history too. Everything in this place has a little history of some kind.
Well,
this
I wouldn't even have noticed
this
that.
This is a lid of either a sugar barrel or a flour barrel.
Yeah, it's just round.
Feel it,
though. That's what it is.
Feel it. It's rough on the other side, see?
And my mother made it.
Yeah.
You had a torch of some kind.
Yeah.
And we burned that into that. Now, I have admired it and liked it all these years, but you know where are these little holes coming from? There must be some.
Isn't that what you call wormholes?
It must be little wormholes.
Oh, they have a kind of wood called wormwood, and I think years ago they.
Now that's why my mother did back in the teens and 1915 or 16 or something like that.
A barrel top probably have them.
That's regular little holes in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Looks like the worms have been in it since the picture was
made. Well, yes. What if look at
look
these.
On the back.
I hadn't seen that often. Look at them.
I think they're wormholes.
Maybe they are. Right? They're not working on it now, you know.
No.
I guess they add to it. They're happy hunting grounds.
Yeah. Well, why don't you see the most interesting things? Yes, sir. Now, that's just an old barrel top.
The women were doing it around here. Oh, they were doing stenciling. They were doing stenciling on the materials. And they were doing this.
Is that something?
Oh, that's my program. And maybe the only one I have.
Yeah.
I'm going to frame that.
It looks in such good shape to be as old as it is.
Yes, sir.
It isn't even yellow. Maybe the paper was better then, too.
But, you know, I wouldn't even notice that little love seat, and that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the colors are faded, but they're beautiful. They're not worn.
Color is.
But the man said, and he said, if I begin to take this off, he said they're liable. I'm liable to break the points. I don't know how to get it back. Oh, he does. He has had all kind of arguments for not doing it. So I said, well, I'll take your word for it.
Mm-hmm. That's even Lois's old rocker over there.
No,
isn't it?
I had to go. That was my sister.
Your sister's
that was
rocker.
My sister's rocker.
Yeah, I knew it was. Uh-huh. And back in the family there. Mm-hmm. Been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, now those things come up like horns.
Uh-huh. And it's been modernized. It's been put up there in that little scuttle hole over the kitchen all these years. Uh-huh. And for my little grandniece, is it grandniece, a great niece, a grandniece?
When Jackie, I guess it's your grandniece.
But when Jackie was coming down, I thought I must let Jackie sit on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Must find something for Jackie to sit on. So I went up there. I thought this is Lucille's. Lucille's the grandmother. I'll go get her chair. Well, now this is all broken in here. You see, this is supposed to be lace with that kind of stuff all the way from.
Oh, yeah, with
and
the wicker.
They were broken. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I took it to a man to see if he could repair it. And he said no, he couldn't do that.
He didn't have any of that.
And he couldn't weave it. I said, well, now, if you can
that's
get
dirty.
It.
Dirty. Look at there.
I'll buy anything that you can, or wherever you have to order it to get it, to restore it like that. But he didn't give me an encouragement. And he said, get some of this stuff, that the this plastic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said, get it in green. He said, I think that'd be all right. I really had to have something. Had to have something to fill in
and,
there.
And you did that yourself?
No, I bought the stuff the man.
He did it for you. Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the frame on this picture? That's...
Yeah, there was an old tree.
See another one
you
like that.
Oh, that's a pear on each side of the window.
Mm-hmm. You will find frames like that in antique places.
Yes. And there were beautiful flowers, bouquet of flowers. And
mm-hmm. They go nice. Right with the room. Lois was thinking one time about changing her rug in here, and we had a little consultation on that. And I suggested she leave it like the man did the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of concerned about this moth-eaten border. Not moth-eaten, but worn.
Oh, yes, well, it is. I think it's moth-eaten and worn, too.
Worn border, but I told her I don't think people look at the border too
well,
much.
You know, it's an old pattern. I've seen this. I've seen patterns like this in old rugs in other houses.
Well, Lois, to me, it doesn't look old, so that shows you where my taste is formed.
I think it kind of goes with the room and the furniture.
I think so. I went along with her. I was just about to, I wanted wall-to-wall carpet like I wanted that light upstairs. Everybody else getting wall-to-wall carpet. I wanted wall-to-wall carpet too. But Fawn talked me out of it.
She used to have late curtains in here. We couldn't
find those. I thought she was all right.
Now, what about your late curtains?
She used to have lace curtains on these, and they rotted when she washed them.
Yes.
And she tried to find more like them, wasn't it?
I just couldn't find them at all.
Well,
and I went and had these made, I went and had these made. Oh, they cost so much. You'd be surprised how much they cost. They certainly don't look like what they cost. And when I hung them up there, I thought they were the tackiest thing that I ever saw in my life.
Yeah.
And I still don't like them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where I do better. But Florence, bless her heart, she gave me this. She gave me this ad, Florence. I have clipped it here so I won't lose it. Because this is a place where I might be able to order some old-fashioned lace curtains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Restore it to its original.
Yeah.
See, my niece sent me that for Christmas. Isn't that cute?
That's beautiful.
A note to remember.
Uh-huh. Now that's a little trinket, and it's a music stand.
Uh-huh.
Just mounted
on a
piece of
wood. And you can keep
a
pencil down there, you see, and put notes up there.
Oh, sure.
Now here's where she, Lauren saw this. I thought that was wonderful. Lace curtain. There are two places where I could order these lace curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that looks more like the kind I had there. But by that time, I'd already bought these. So.
They belong here more than these.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the light fixture up here.
Yeah.
You know, a modern light fixture wouldn't belong in this room. See that with the four hanging globes?
Yeah, the globe at the top.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Avid globe.
And you see that little scallop design around there? Oh, yeah. You see that?
Like a molding.
Uh-huh. But that was a beautiful plaster rosette. It's a beautiful thing. And we put this light up against that when we got the Delco lights. This was a Delco light fixture.
Yeah.
And one morning I came and opened this door, and here was that rosette and that fixture just hanging right in the middle of the room. The wires were holding it up so it didn't fall to the floor.
Yeah.
But there, everything was just hanging right down here. I went quickly to get Mr. Lindsay, Colin Lindsay's father, Belk Lindsay. Colin Lindsay's father was our electrician. And I went to get Mr. Lindsay to come quickly before this fell to the floor and broke all the pieces. But we had to throw away the plaster rosette.
Mm-hmm.
And we painted over that and then put the elastic to back.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you noticed or not, too, the colored panes in her window.
No, I hadn't.
Blue and
this
red
window,
and green.
And also in the guest room upstairs, that front window has the same color in it.
Gold.
And then the door and this hall window.
Mm-hmm. Why, yes.
Mm-hmm. That door is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Now that little panel, that looks like it's laid it in, doesn't it? Well, anyhow, it's not. It's just put
mold
it
in. Mine as a child, how we used to love to get on one side of the door and the other, you're blue. now you're red.
Yeah.
Just entertain ourselves a long time looking at each other through the colored glasses.
Uh-huh. Oh, you still got the doorbell.
Uh-huh.
Look at that.
And my little boy pupils know that, too.
Yes, they enjoy
that. Well, come here one minute more.
Now, that's the end of this delightful tape, just delightful, and it lasted just 45 minutes. I left the tape on, and it just about, it didn't last that long. This is channel 2 over, about 570, channel 2 over, about 570. Now, this is a music room tape. Florence directed it, and it's her idea, and she's been studying music there, and she knew and helped direct it. But it seems undirected. It's very nice. I came right home and transferred it. I just couldn't wait. See, we got through about noon, just a little after 12 o'clock, and by 12:30 we were eating lunch and transferring the tape. This Thursday, 19th of June, 1969. Thursday, 19th of June, 1969. Now Nick's come to mow a little bit, and I turned it over to him, and he's going to do the work. Now, this is Friday, the 20th of June, 69. I tried all day to catch Lois, and I finally got her around supper time. I had the hunch, I wasn't quite satisfied with the house tape, too many odds and ends. I thought we might start with her mother's room and also bring in her mother, and then her own room that she, where she cut on the wardrobe, headboard, then the room with the slave bed in it, and the other white pieces. That didn't work out, but we got a good bit of information. This Friday, the 20th of June, 69, this is channel 2 over, around 590.
Realize that these people go to the park, and she could tell the funny things about them. She could tell me more when I came in than I told her, and I've been gone to town.
Well, now that's amazing. Just from looking out the window and watching people pass.
Mm-hmm.
But now there isn't so much. This is the old tree in front of the house.
Uh-huh.
I see we have some interesting pictures, and that's the old Willingham Mansion in England, which is interesting too.
But now, and that, of course, was the bottom part of the old hat rack.
Yeah.
And that's just an old table that we had, that was in my father's family. And this table was in my father. That was Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought this, and my mother's been gone. I had an opportunity to buy that from an antique dealer in Gainesville. So
yeah.
That's all I know about that. I asked him where it came from. He said Pennsylvania.
So this is just odds and ends.
It's just odds and ends in here.
Yeah. Now, do you think of this as your mother's room?
Well, it's our sitting room. It's where she spent most of the time after she had that heart condition and couldn't. It stopped a lot of her activity.
For several years.
Uh-huh.
Now, she lived well up past the war.
She died in 1940.
Oh, that far back,
mm-hmm. 1940.
Yeah.
And there was a time when she was in bed 4 months, and we moved this furniture around, and we put her bed in here.
Uh-huh.
So she could see more, and she couldn't see much of there.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't see anything in there.
Well, now, did you take up her interest? Sometimes the daughters take up the mama's interest, and sometimes they don't. Now, was your mama interested in all these things?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing, that time she lay there 4 months, but in the fall of the year, during football season, she never had noticed a thing in the world about football, not a thing.
Yeah.
But the doctor said she should not hold a book, read a book. He didn't want to read the newspaper even, because of the bad news on the front page and everything.
Yeah.
But she had to read some, and she began reading the sports page.
Yeah.
Prince Lord had the best team they ever had. That Clyde Crabtree and Dale Vansickle. It was that, you know, that year?
Yeah.
And so she knew those boys all by name. She knew their position. She'd read every detail of the players. And that was just amazing to me, because she never had cared anything about football, didn't know anything about football. She knew maybe a little bit about baseball, but not football.
Well, you know what Clay tells me. She says I turn off more than you than I listen to,
uh-huh.
And she thinks pretty soon I'm going to start just listening to the advertising.
You like the commercials.
Because that's all good
yeah.
news, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're
uh-huh.
all pleased.
Uh-huh. So really, they're just kind of odds and ends. And here,
My guess, I'm find it interesting. Mm-hmm. That picture over there, and all these picture frames. These picture frames are old. But they're not much conversation. But
when did you start being interested in all these things? Now in the 20s, when you were teaching, you were.
No. I guess it wasn't much until in the 40s. I wasn't too much until after my mother passed away, and then I had the responsibility entirely of the house.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that bed cut down long about in the 16, in yeah. the about 1916, long in there, because I wanted to be like other girls.
And your aunt had died in 34.
Aunt died in 1934. Mm-hmm.
And your father?
My father died in 31.
Uh-huh. So you just left to take it or take mm-hmm. care of it, weren't mm-hmm. you?
So about 31 on, I was kind of the man in the family.
Yes. Yeah. And kept things going.
Mm-hmm. After a fashion.
Yes. That's nice. Well, and you don't have a whole lot of appliances and all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember one of my...
I'm going to memorize this. I'm going to dramatize it when I come back at a bottle shop.
I can't see it.
The men in my little girl's life.
The men?
In my little girl's life.
Yeah. 130. And what?
I'm going to dramatize it at a shower for a bride.
Oh.
When I come back. I bought that in Gainesville this morning. I'm going to take it along with me on my trip and get it all memorized and worked it out while I'm home.
And you're going to dramatize it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, song?
Mm-hmm. But it's it can be sung or spoken.
Yeah.
The music.
And you're going to dramatize it for a
bridal shower.
Bridal shower. Well,
all these things are going to my 50th in time. I'm beginning to get my things together.
Yes. Well, now I can't. I've never been to a shower. I don't know how you dramatize anything for a shower.
Well, you have to have a little program.
Yeah.
Or games or entertainment of some kind.
That's yeah. Oh yes. Yeah, now I feel more at home in here than I do the other one. Yes. Yeah. Now let me see. Who do you associate this with? Now this is the slave bed from Uncle
Billy's home farm in South Carolina on the banks of the Tupelo River. Tupelo River is a boundary between South Carolina and Georgia.
Oh, this is
the
not...
Tremier family came from Ireland, and their homestead in this country is there on the banks of that river.
Yes, this is from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is not your Uncle Billy.
Yeah.
Before he married an
Uncle Billy Tremier married the Willingham. Mm-hmm. And this was brought over from South Carolina to his farm place in North Georgia.
Oh. It was already in his family before mm-hmm. he got a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
His father.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is not right now.
And now, see, he was married in 1884, got those books.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And this was made before that.
Yes.
Close.
In South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he took this with him. And it was short then,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. And Uncle Billy was a tall man, too. All our men have been tall. Yeah, I mean, all sides, all brands of our family, our men have been tall.
Yeah. Well, now, what all did Uncle Billy do?
He was a farmer.
Yeah.
He had one of the finest farms in North Gordon County.
In the bottom country?
Mm-hmm. That's where they had the row, I remember the row of apple, Arkansas
yeah,
blacks.
Arkansas blacks. Plant cotton?
Cotton and corn.
Cotton and corn.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was, he didn't have slaves, that was past his slaves.
No, it wasn't slaves, but he had a family of Negroes on his place. Their name was Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the finest, the highest, class Negroes I ever knew anything about, and the finest looking, and when he was buried, those young men on that farm served as pallbearers.
up there.
Uh-huh. And when my aunt died, okay, they buried him.
Up there? Mm-hmm. They were both buried up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does the family still go on up there?
No, there's no family up there.
Oh, they didn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
That beautiful farm. And you grew up. Let me see.
I grew up in here, right here. I used to go up there and spend the summer because I was delicate.
Yeah.
And they thought it was good for me. They had no children, and they were very fond of children, and especially fond of me, I guess, because I was kind of frail. I've been stronger and in better health as an adult than ever was as a child.
Yeah.
And the most remarkable thing about that Uncle Billy, in his will, he gave everything to his wife. And at her death, the farm was to be sold and given to her five nieces.
Oh, really?
And none of his people ever come. We thought surely the Tremiers, some of the other Tremiers,
uh-huh,
would be displeased at that.
Yeah.
There might be some trouble.
Yeah.
But they never did. I thought that was the most wonderful thing. They gave them to his wife's nieces when he had nieces and nephews on the Tremier side.
Well, how did he come for that, Lois?
Hmm? Well, I don't know. He just seemed to be fond of us. Now, he had one brother who lived up at Cahuilla Springs. And I don't think they were ever very close. And I don't know whether Mr. Sam Tremier ever had any children or not. We never knew them very well. Then there was another brother who lived in Texas. And then he had some Tremier relatives in Spartanburg we used to visit. I think they were cousins. And that's not all the Tremier kin I have anything about.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, your aunt, what was her name? Aunt who?
Mamie.
Aunt Mamie.
Mm-hmm.
How many sisters were there?
My mother's the only sister she had.
Just the two of them?
No, then there were four brothers.
Oh, four brothers. Well, now what became
of them? So Lucia, my sister and I, and three other nieces are the ones who got the price of that farm was divided between us.
Oh, I keep forgetting your sister.
Mm-hmm.
I met her.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going up to see her there. Mm-hmm. This
Monday.
Yes, Monday. Well, now that's interesting. But now these other things not associated with the Uncle Tremier.
No, my mother and father, I reckon they bought these stuff keeping house with.
Yeah.
They're just ordinary furniture in there. They in town. They have more better now than they were there. Yeah, I think they were oak. They were just a young couple starting out, and they just bought this, just bought dresses and washstand.
Washstand and this is a dresser. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
and
nice.
That table, that's an old-fashioned table, and this is an old-fashioned chair. Uh-huh. Imagine this is among the things they bought when they started out tap shoes.
Yeah.
And maybe that rocker.
Yes. And this little piece?
Well, I think I remember where they bought that.
Well, now that's remarkable, isn't it? Now that's your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that right here in this house? No.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't start housekeeping
here.
No,
they started housekeeping down there. In the house down there.
Yeah. Well, now...
They moved up here in about 1903.
Well, now, when they owned this, they didn't own very much, did they?
Mm-mm.
But they kept it all that time.
They owned their home down there. And they intend to build on this, where this grove is. He planted that grove.
Mm-hmm.
But before, he had the money to... build the kind of house you want to build around there. This was put up for sale.
Uh-huh.
Man, the woman lived here, and he had a farm out west of here, and he would ride his horse and go out there and sit for Nellie all day. And Mrs. Price was here all by herself, and she just raised the roof about it. She said, "Why don't you build a house, build a log cabin? I'll move out there.
Uh-huh.
You out there all day, and I'm in here all day.
Yeah.
And that's where the farm is. Let's live out there."
Yeah.
And so he built a little house out there. And they moved out there, just a little house. And my father bought it. And Mr. Price was a man of some vision, it seems. So he decided that he had enough of that farming out there. And by that time, Flagler had gone down the East Coast.
Yeah.
And people began to hear a little bit about Miami.
Yeah.
But they're the first people we ever heard about. They left him with Miami. And he died very rich.
Because he got in on the pioneers of Miami,
the man who built this house.
Yeah, Price. Well, but now when your mama and papa bought this and started housekeeping,
They didn't really own very much furniture. Did
no,
And then they kept this all the time.
And moved it in here, and developed.
And then got other pieces
mm-hmm.
as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right, remarkable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Now, what is this room? Just a little bedroom?
This is our, we call this our guest room.
This is a guest room.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is nice. I think we got, I don't quite get him, Lois.
When you married my aunt.
18 years
old. He was 16, 18 years old.
16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you remember him.
Oh, yes, I remember perfectly.
When you remember him just as a child?
Well, no, he died.
No?
Let me see. He died before my father died in 31. My aunt died in 34. I was pretty older. Really died about 26 or 8
yeah.
something there.
Well,
in the late
20s.
Because I remember
it
perfectly well.
Yeah. You remember him as an adult.
Yeah, I went to school in Shorter College, and I used to go there as a college student. I used to go over to Calhoun and spend the weekend. So I was...
You weren't far from him.
Didn't go very often, because in those days, I guess we did have cars, but didn't have many roads. And so while I'm jumping the car, I'm running from Rome to Calhoun like we could do now.
Yeah. Well, now, when was that?
Was that about 1916?
Yeah, yeah.
17, 18,
Yeah, the roads weren't too plentiful then, were
they? Oh, no. Nothing like we have now.
Well, now, whose black Stetson fell off of the...
My uncle's. After my aunt died in 1934, there was a bachelor brother
uh-huh.
who had been living with them.
Uh-huh.
His Uncle George Willingham.
Uh-huh.
He was the youngest in the family.
Uh-huh.
And as a young man, he hadn't been very well. He had rheumatism as a young man.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't able to work and do like the other boys in the family and other men. So, and he kept, he stayed at, he was the last one to leave the old home place, the Willingham home place. And he nursed and cared for the father and the mother. And when they died, then he didn't have in the home, you might say. So Uncle Billy said to him, said, you come, help me run my farm. You make out your home with us, why, you won't regret it. Well, he left him plenty of money, but he didn't leave the farm. Everybody up there thought it was funny thing, he didn't leave him that farm in the house. He left it to us,
yeah.
The girls.
Well, now, did you all sell it, or did you keep
well,
it running?
No, his will said that it should be sold at public auction.
Oh.
And it didn't bring what it should have brought.
Yes.
Because everybody in that area who knew them, they were known around all the counties around it,
uh-huh.
They thought that Uncle George would bid it in. They thought that Mr. Tremier would certainly give it to Mr. Willingham,
mm-hmm.
who lived there, but he didn't. And so they thought, well, Uncle George wouldn't be happy anywhere else, and he'd want to buy it back. And so they didn't run it up very high, because they thought Uncle George would be bidding.
But he didn't.
Hmm. He didn't want it.
He didn't want it?
No, he couldn't live that big laboring house all by himself. He was glad to get rid of it. He was glad for it to be sold. And so he...
Was it a house like this?
It was larger than this.
Was it built like this?
Something like this, big porches. And
yes. Big, what would you call this? Big frame house?
Mm-hmm.
Porches, big rooms, a lot of rooms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's pretty, and it was sealed though, with the panel wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when her eyes began to get old, her eyes began to get a little dim. That's why she went in so for the ivory paint to brighten up the big old house.
Now, let me tell you, I see. She put the ivory paint on there to brighten it up for herself.
Yeah. And that, too.
And then the bed, yes.
And printing everything else up there. But
This is the end of Channel 2 Over and the end of this reel. This is the end of Channel 2 Over and the end of this reel. Continue this fine visit with Lois Dixon on her reel number 2. This is a fine, informative tape, but of airport tape. The battery ran down. And this is the end of Channel 2 Over on Lois's Reel 1. I'll continue it on Reel 2. This is about the middle of the tape on Friday, the 20th of June, 69. Friday, the 20th of June, 69. And this is the end of Channel 2 Oban, the end of Reel 1, and I'll continue this tape on Reel 2. 69.